Good morning and welcome to the Wednesday, May 16th edition of Byers & Company. The City Hall Insider, in a day early all this month, Paul Osborne, publisher of the Tribune, former mayor of Decatur. Plus, we'll check in with Topper on sports. Company rolls now.
Byers & Company, WSOY 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Sarah writes in, Laurel, then when you were back from the break, Yanny, but sounded at a different pitch. Was it a different recording? No, it's the same recording. Paul, what are you here? You hear Laurel, too?
Laurel, yeah.
Last night I had no doubt it was Yanny. Today I have no doubt it is Laurel. I think we're really starting to understand the world here a little bit. It's like a park board meeting.
Is this making us come together in a way?
No, it's not. It's just driving us apart. Everybody's mad that the other side can't hear what they hear, or they're mad they can't hear what the other side hears. Good morning and welcome. City Hall Insider Paul Osborne is in the studios here today. I want to get to this. Park District, I know you write about it and write about the commentary that comes in. They decided they were going to cease operations on the gas dock, the snack shack, whatever it's called, in the gas dock at Lake Decatur. Of course, the people collectively lose their minds as they do. Some have points. Others don't have any point at all. And these people would be, I believe, a vast majority of the critics would be jumping on the other side. If the story came out and said they were losing a bunch of money running it, they would be the exact same way, right?
Yeah, I think so.
You're never going to please those people.
No.
And to the person who said that they should take Tim Gleason's raise and dedicate it to the gas docks, you got to quit sniffing the gas, because that if one has nothing to do with the other, it's two budgets, it's two different taxing bodies. Are you amazed that people still can't get those basic facts straight when making a vehement argument on their own defense?
Yeah, it's, of course, maybe it's a lot easier for us because we deal with it all the time.
It's not hard to understand that the Park District and the City of Decatur are two different organizations.
Yeah, two different elected boards.
Yes.
And same way with school board, Macon County board.
Yeah, now you can argue that we have too many boards. Okay, that's an argument, but you can't just keep blurring this stuff at your own convenience. And you can't take a story that the Park District did and make it anti-Gleason because you don't like Tim Gleason.
Yeah, well, it's just like the reasoning. Everyone has a right to their opinion. You have a right to react. And I used to use the gas dock, and we had a vote all the time. Always liked doing that.
Yeah.
But by the same token, you have to be a little logical and a little credible in your argument. I mean, we had someone, I think, a couple comments on the Facebook blaming the state of Illinois for the closing.
Yeah.
The state of Illinois is really in serious trouble. What's that got to do with?
All right, here's my thing, and I don't know if you agree with this or not, but I think we have a great park district. I was just telling a story before the break. I was out at Scoville Zoo yesterday morning, 10:20 a.m. on a Tuesday morning, and there were school buses from all over the state of Illinois. The place had, there was 1,000 people at Scoville Zoo. I mean, it was packed at 10:20 in the morning. I mean, our people aren't, you know, here, our residents aren't driving to Danville to do this, but Danville's driving to us to do this. So, I mean, the park district does a lot of good.
They do, yeah.
I serve on the Parks Foundation board, just to be completely transparent, which is not the park board. It's the private fundraising efforts. It has its own board and its own executive director, and so we raise money privately to do things with the Howard Buffett Foundation or anyone else to do things that you don't have to pay for out of your tax base. These are all gifts. So I don't have any interaction, you know, like as far as with the executive director or the park board, other than we work side by side. I don't understand why the park district doesn't do a little bit better job when they're going to do something like this at a board meeting to sort of tell the narrative before they just do it. And then they're always completely surprised that all the criticism comes out. Is that fair?
I think it's pretty fair.
I mean, one calls and says, hey, heads up, this is probably going to be a little controversial, but here's why we're doing this. Given some context to it.
Yeah, I think on a decision like this, too, it's always good, you know, whether it's going to be good or bad to listen to give some community input and then say, that's your decision. We have heard you, but here are the reasons that we need to do this.
Yeah, and I also think that you close the restaurant, maybe. I get that. They're getting out of the food and catering business, and they've contracted that out with the beach house, and I think that makes sense. You've got to adapt and evolve. But to pay some kid minimum wage to sit down there at the gas dock, I mean, I think maybe you eat that cost if you have to have that service for people. You want people to bring their boats here. You want people to use this lake. You want lake development. You want You know, the amphitheater and all of these other things, you got to have some amenities. And even if that costs you a little bit of money, I mean, how much is it going to cost you to pay a kid minimum wage to pump gas?
Well, I think my criticism of the decision is that that's the way it is now. But, you know, building a whole new area there, it's going to be unlike it's been before. And you're going to have people that can come and spend the day, you know, on Lake Decatur or around Lake Decatur. They bring their boats here. They're going to be surprised there's no place on the lake, you know, to get any gasoline for their craft. And I guess maybe even on a trial basis in the future, you know, if you have all these boats, people visiting from other communities, trailering their boats here, spending a day on Lake Decatur and going to the amphitheater and things like that, maybe that service should still be available, and it will generate more funds in the future. But with everything happening, it looks like, you know, like closing this down is, yeah, is just not a good idea right now.
No, it's not. And maybe it should be the city that does this. I mean, the lake, you know, as has been pointed out, you know, dock fees and launch fees and boat stickers, that is all the city of Decatur. And so I do understand how people get confused about, you know, the shore is the park district, the water is the city, and who, you know, or maybe it's some sort of joint combination. You know, maybe they share the cost of having, you know, a full-time employee down there pumping gas.
Well, yeah, you're right. The lake is the city of Decatur's responsibility. Nelson Park is at Decatur Park District. But I do know in times past that there have been some projects the city and the park district have worked on together.
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea. You know, if you can't do something alone, but it's going to benefit everybody.
Yeah, but they have that conversation and figure it out instead of just doing this and then acting surprised that everybody gets ticked off. Now, I mean, if you say to me, and it's reasonable, go, hey, we're losing money on this. And somebody said, well, do a private contractor. I guarantee they'd love to have a private contractor do this. But if the private contractor is not going to go into business to lose money.
Yeah, and I think they've indicated that they looked into that.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you're losing money, and you want me to come in?
You want me to come in and lose money, my own money. Yeah. So I think on both sides, the people who are the naysayers are going to be naysayers no matter what you do. And I think there are some people who are naysayers about closing it that would be naysayers about, you know, literally funding it at a loss because they just want it both ways. Those folks you can't do anything about. But the ones who have legitimate concerns about, hey, you're really trying to make this lake into something. Why in the world would you take away basic amenities like this? I think it's a fair conversation. I also think it's one the city ought to be involved in because, as you said, or as you wrote, and some of the listeners, you've got launch fees, dock fees, boat stickers. I mean, that money's all going to the city.
Yeah, anything on the lake.
And how do you put something in a lake if you don't have anything to put in the boat to make it run? I mean, to me, that sounds like maybe it's more of a city responsibility than it is a park district responsibility.
Yeah, and I don't know what agreements have been hatched, you know, over the years since I've been out of office and that the city will do this if the park district takes care of this. Maybe this taking care of the gas and that is, you know, is part of that. I'm not sure. But the park district says, you know, we're spending a lot more money on this than we're getting out of it. So I think you have to, at least in my opinion, you have to look a little bit beyond that and try to work something out to keep that with everything else. Take away what
you have. And at the end of the day, it's not a huge deal. And as the expansion continues down there, there's going to be opportunities. I mean, I'm sure they're not shutting the door on this forever. They're just saying, hey, not enough boaters. And a lot of the comments we got from boaters is the boaters, it was cheaper for them to buy their gas and bring it with them than it was to buy down there.
Well, it's cheaper to buy a Coke somewhere here than to go to a Cardinals game and buy one.
Yeah, I mean,
part of your entertainment.
Yeah, it is. And so I don't know, you know, how many, you know, people who are regular boaters will be impacted by this. But certainly, like you said, who in the world wants to drive up from somewhere and bring their boat and then find out there's nowhere to get gas?
Yeah.
And I would think that at minimum wage, for a gas station attendant, high school kid, whatever, you know, that would be something between the city and the park district they could afford.
Yeah, I'd like to see them work something out on this. I really would as you move forward in that area, Nelson Park and the lake. I mean, and it's going to benefit both.
Yeah.
And, you know, I do disagree with one comment that was made, I don't know, on Facebook. I disagree with a lot of those, but basically saying, you know, well, here the city spent all that money dredging that lake, you know, for the boaters, and that, well, they really didn't. It was to build water capacity. That was kind
for
of
employers.
A side.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. And that would benefit the boaters in the long run because there's some very shallow parts in that lake before the dredging. But I think building water capacity was the number one, the number one idea there. Also, that lake has been shallow for a long time, too. I used to water ski, and I could, in the middle of the lake, I could feel the silt under my feet with my head above water after I went down. So there wasn't much capacity
there. So that, I mean, that, and that project worked. Now, there's also, you have to let these organizations have the flexibility to evolve. And sometimes evolving means closing old things and opening new things. I mean, that's part of it.
Well,
but there's always this bandwagon of, Decatur loses another thing.
That's the dirty D. That's, you know, that sucking sound you hear is Decatur going down, you know, the sewer.
It's a gas pump.
Yeah. You know, well, not only that, look at everything that's developed, say, in the last 20, 25 years or even the last 10 years. You know, there was a time there was no global zoo. There was no children's museum. You start looking, and as you mentioned, people come from other communities to see that. You start, there was no Kirkland Fine Arts Center. I mean, that's since I've been in business.
Yeah, no, just in the last couple of years, I mean, the things that are going to be opening this year and opening next year, you know, it's what I said. I'm careful here because the naysayers are the naysayers, and they're going to be that for whatever. However, a word of advice to the Park Board of Commissioners, talk about this stuff before you're going to do it. I don't mean like sending out, you know, minutes of the meeting or an agenda. But if you know, I mean, how can you be surprised that people get mad?
Yeah, I think also people feel a little more personal towards the parks and that than they do even the city of Decatur.
Well, because the city doesn't do the fun stuff. The parks are the heart and soul, right? I mean, they're the recreation people. They're the fun people. It's where you grow up. It's where you play. It's where you boat. It's where you recreate. I mean, that's why. It's part of your quality of life.
Yeah, I don't want to lose that.
Yeah.
You know, I may not be using that right now, but I don't want to see that go.
Yeah, but you know, after closing that road, you know, anything in that park that's going to be voted on, you're going to have this tirade of people that are, I mean, you just know it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and to say, I think that's why it's doubly important to do a lot of PR on this, because people do
or
have
just
that connection.
Right. Yeah. You know, or just a heads up, here are the numbers. Yeah. This is what happened. We tried talking to a private contractor. The private contractor says can't make it work. You know, I think people understand when you go, look, it loses money.
Yeah.
And a private contractor is not going to come in and lose money. That's not what a private contractor does. And do you want to subsidize with your tax dollars losing money on something? And there is this complaint about things that people don't want to lose something that they don't even use.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I don't understand.
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder how many comments on Facebook actually are boaters.
Yeah.
And if they are boaters, literally went to those pumps to pay for gas. Now, the Snack Shack thing, I understand. You got a restaurant 200 yards down is going gangbusters. Yeah. You know, it's not like you're taking away the only place to eat. I mean, the Snack Shack didn't work. It was Chili Parlor for a long time, whatever it was. The buildings deteriorated. Things age. You know, there's only so many things you can do with infrastructure. I get that. Pay some kid minimum wage to pump gas. How big a deal is that? To me, that's a $20,000 futures sponsorship, you know, with the golf tournament. You know, you're literally, you're throwing your baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah, yeah.
For $8 an hour.
Yeah. I would agree with that, and that's why, you know, I made both arguments in the column. You know, I can see as a taxpayer, you know, if you're losing money on it, and why are you doing it? But the other side of it is, I think there's a bigger picture.
Yeah, if you want to grow and you want more people to do it, you've got to have some basic amenities.
Yeah, and how much will it cost to fix the dock or fix the pump or whatever there?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like you. I can understand the Snack Shack. Because of what's available. There isn't anything else available as far as the gas dock.
No, there's not. Yeah. And I got to be honest with you. I hadn't been to that Snack Shack or whatever it's called for 10 years. So, I mean, I can't. How am I going to complain about something I didn't financially support?
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't it's stop a lot of people.
Well, yeah, a lot of them. I think what bothers me is a lot of the people that are always commenting in a negative way don't even live here.
No, I know. or they don't go to the events they're talking about, or they don't, you know, it's
that's the reason I left Decatur.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Nice hearing from you. How's Wisconsin? So that's the deal. I think that the city, let's just call on that. The city manager and the executive director of the Park District, Bill Clavenger and Tim Gleason, should get on the horn today and go, how do we open up a gas dock? Minimum wage kid, let's split the cost. And this summer, it's a limited window. What? Did you just hear Yanny?
I did. No, I heard Laurel.
You heard Laurel? Thank you. Lindsay is singular preoccupied. I mean, she has one thing and only one thing she is capable of doing right now. They can do that. That's like $4 a piece, right?
Yeah, I would think. And maybe they, if they have talked, maybe that should be mentioned. But you know, sometimes, you know, groups and public bodies, they do something and maybe don't consider that we can keep this if we work together on this, and maybe there's a trade-off or something else.
Yeah, you know? So there you have it. So take, you know, say, hey, we listen to you. Snack Shack can't do it. It's just too expensive.
Yeah.
People aren't in there. You got the beach house right down. You know, you got places to eat here. But gas, yeah, we hear you. And maybe we had to operate at a little bit of a loss on that, but we can manage those costs, maybe share it with the city of Decatur, and we have the basic amenities for boaters.
If we're bringing more people here, we're going to have more tax revenue as a result, yes. So that could help cover the cost.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, we've solved that one, Paul. See?
Okay.
Just let us run everything. We'll take a break. Here is Lindsay Romano, if she can tear herself away from that recording.
I heard it.
Give you the WSOY 3-day forecast.
Partly sunny skies, highs near 80 degrees. Then for tonight, mostly clear, lows around 58. For your Thursday, mostly sunny, highs near 84. And Friday, partly sunny, highs near 78 degrees. It is 60 degrees in downtown Decatur.
Scotty here for Be Wet Solutions in Highland, Illinois. For most of my life, I've enjoyed the use of hot tubs or spas by paying fees to the health club of my choice or when staying at a hotel or resort. And I've learned how wonderfully therapeutic and beneficial hot tubs or spas can be for quality of life when utilized on a regular basis. For several years, my wife and I considered the purchase of a spa, and after my wife's back surgery, we made the decision to purchase a marquee spa this past spring from Be Wet Solutions, and we could not be happier about that decision. And the folks at Be Wet Solutions have been great to work with. Be Wet Solutions specializes in quality spa and hot tub products from marquee and celebrity. So visit their showroom, conveniently located at Highway 143 and I-70, just west of Highland, or at BeWetSolutions.com for details. And here's the most important thing. Be Wet Solutions is owned and operated by the same great folks that own and operate Be Dry Waterproofing Solutions. Committed to quality products and customer service. Depending on your needs, BeDry.com or BeWetSolutions.com.
Whether you need therapy for a medical condition or advanced non-invasive cosmetic treatments, the Christie Clinic Department of Dermatology is dedicated to you and your skin. Their board-certified dermatologists use state-of-the-art technology grounded in the latest research to treat all conditions and diseases that affect the skin. Visit a Christie Clinic Department of Dermatology location near you. Medical and cosmetic dermatology services are available at Christie Clinic locations throughout East Central Illinois. Call 366-1248 or visit dermatology.christieclinic.com to schedule an appointment at a Christie Clinic location near you.
Hey, it's Lindsay Romano. I know you've heard me talk about all of the awesome services at Babbage Skincare and Medical Spa. Well, on May 25th from 9 to 11:30 a.m., you're invited to Wake Up to Makeup. During the event, their trained estheticians will be doing free makeovers, skincare consultations, and more. It's going to be a fun, relaxed atmosphere, and they'll be serving a continental breakfast, raffling off door prizes, and offering discount pricing on all of their skincare products. Seating is limited, so you want to call Babbage Skincare and Medical Spa today at 330-7839 or message Babbage Medical Spa on Facebook.
You're listening to Byers & Company. Only on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. We're back here on a Wednesday. Yes, that's right. It's a Wednesday. This is sort of like the Laurel Yanny thing. Paul is in normally on Thursdays for years and years and years, but the month of May, we were out on the road every single Thursday, so we asked him if he would shift his calendar. He was kind enough to agree, and so we're doing the City Hall Insider a day early all this month. Word has it you were having a very animated discussion with Councilman Pat McDaniel on the streets in the last week. Any truth to that?
Yeah. Yesterday.
I have spies everywhere, Paul.
Yeah, you must. Must have been looking out the window.
No. Somebody saw it and mentioned it to me. Well, I say animated. They said Councilman McDaniel was animated.
Yeah. Well, we were just, I think, I'm not even sure what we were talking about, just some issues.
Oh, so it wasn't anything controversial?
No, he was just parking there while I was walking across from Subway. So
okay.
Stopped to say hello and then turned into a discussion for a few minutes.
I'm sure it did, as it always does. What's your feedback on the whole golf tournament thing? We had the city manager in, was it yesterday or the day before? Tuesday, Monday. I don't know. He was just in. He's in a bad spot. And we're inviting the mayor in to talk because I think this has to land at her feet. I know she's got some squirrely council members she's dealing with, but the city manager is not the one dragging his feet on the funding of these organizations. It is clearly not him. It is the council.
Well, yeah, and you have to, as city manager, you can't be writing checks if the city council basically says, we want to vote on this, and they don't vote on it. On the other side of this, I think there needed to be a little more urgency on this issue here, not only for the golf classic, but mm-hmm. also for these other organizations.
Yeah, but I think that's where the mayor has got to step in with a heavy hand if necessary.
I think that's right. I think you say to the city manager, because you talk with the city manager about the agenda items and that, and the suggestion is that, you know, these people need to know, we need to get this on the, you know, on the agenda. And delaying it, even if she wasn't there, sometimes it's important to delay something that's really critical.
Or get it done sooner, yeah.
Yeah, but to delay it even from the meeting where they made the decision.
From my understanding, talking to the city manager, is that they were all completely surprised that Dr. Dana Ray voted the way that she voted, that the mayor thought that it was, you know, a 4-2 vote.
Yeah, and I was surprised, too, because I'd mentioned on this program the week before that I thought there would be a little opposition to it, but it should pass. And so I was wrong, so I misread that, but I think you're right. I think no one expected it was compounded by the mayor being out of town.
Yes.
But no one expected Dana Ray to
now,
go.
Now, here's my question philosophically. Should the city council, just as its general responsibility, be making $20,000 decisions?
Normally, no, and I think probably this would have been, and probably has been in the past, something that's been fairly routine, that it's not even brought up.
It was part of the Convention and Visitors Bureau budget. You know, the money that would go to them, would then $20,000 of that would go to the golf tournament.
And so the check was automatically written,
mm-hmm.
and I think this year, with the deficit budget, it changed everything.
I get that, but do we want seven people up there with different backgrounds, with different agendas, making every $20,000 decision? I think you're going to get this paralysis through analysis, which is what happened in this case, if you get into the weeds like that with these elected officials.
Yeah, I think you have a valid point there. I think the other side of this is, if you're a council member or the mayor, you're going to say, we're looking at everything, but you should look at everything. And then
but are they really looking at everything? Because it's a big budget.
Yeah.
I mean, are they looking at every raise? Are they looking at every budget? I mean, they're really going into the forestry department and going, how much are you paying for that? I mean, at some point, these seven people can't look at everything.
Well, you can't micromanage the city. I mean, that's why you hire the city manager.
Yeah.
And you go by his recommendations. And for him to be blindsided by this, too, shows that, wow.
Yeah. I'm also being told that a couple of council members are demanding weekly meetings with the city manager.
Hmm.
I mean, that's out of protocol, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think we had meetings, and I'm reflecting on the time that I was mayor. If we had major issues coming up, the city manager and myself would meet with council members individually.
Yeah, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about an ongoing set-aside time where they meet directly with the city manager.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good idea. You're just, to me, that's almost micromanaging. What do you need that kind of meeting with him all the time?
You want something on the agenda. There's a process to get it on the agenda, right?
Yeah,
if you care about something that you want to be addressed, there's a process in which to do that. The mayor should be the one meeting with the city manager to be on the same page. If the council has questions that are reasonable, I mean, that there's all kinds of processes in place for that to happen. You don't need set aside time for you to have your own special time with the city manager.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that's counterproductive. I really do. And as you mentioned, there's a way, if you want something on the agenda, if you want something for a study session, there's a process you can go through now. And talk about it in public.
Yeah.
You know, have that conversation in public. If there's a particular thing you're really concerned about, you don't need to meet in private with the city manager. That's not an exec session. You know, do it openly.
Yeah.
I think all of us want open government. That's the way to do it.
All right. Let's take a break for the news. City Hall Insider Paul Osborne in the studios. If you missed any of the show, podcasts will be available at Nauticator.com, the Nauticator app, and the iTunes store. Presented by Jerger Pediatric Dentistry, where beautiful smiles begin. Don't forget, teach your Alexa your skill to listen to WSOY. It's presented by Hickory Point Bank, and simple and easy for you to listen to us at home or wherever you are. We'll take a break for the news. Here he is, Jeff Daly. Stay tuned.
WSOY News Time, 729. The Carroll Center for Innovative Learning has had its inaugural semester, and two teachers took time to tell about their experiences with it during last night's Richland Community College Board of Trustees meeting. Laura Phillips teaches various sections of algebra at RCC. She said at the start of the semester, she tells her students they will learn from three different sources, the instructor, themselves, and their peers. And she says learning from their peers is most important. She said the classrooms in the Carroll Center have allowed her students to collaborate in multiple ways. Phillips talked about the tables that seat four students per table. They also have chairs with wheels on them, so if they want to collaborate between groups, they just wheel themselves over to help. Phillips said she was also pleased with the open floor plan that allows her to easily bounce from group to group to distribute papers and help with program problems. More news up next after Fox News on WSOY Decatur, 7:30.
Fox News Radio, I'm Chris Foster. President Trump's team is proceeding as if he's still going to meet with the North Korean leader Kim Jong-un next month in Singapore, although the North Koreans are now threatening to cancel if this is just about them giving up nuclear weapons. White House spokeswoman Sarah Sanders tells Fox and Friends,
"The president is ready if the meeting takes place, and if it doesn't, we'll continue the maximum pressure campaign that's been ongoing."
And the North Koreans have already now canceled talks with South Korea over joint military drills with the United States. North Carolina teachers are rallying at the state capitol in Raleigh today for raises and more education spending.
House Speaker Tim Moore says more money is coming.
To at least a 6.2% increase in teacher salaries for this coming fiscal year.
But the head of a state teachers association says more is needed, like per student spending, money for school buildings, and up-to-date supplies.
That's Fox's Grinnell Scott. Fox News. We report, you decide.
WSOY News Time, 7:31. Illinois lawmakers are considering whether graduate student researchers can form unions. The House Labor and Commerce Committee is scheduled to meet today to continue discussing a measure allowing all graduate students to collectively bargain. State law says students who work as teaching assistants can unionize, but not those who work as research assistants. Democratic Representative Will Gazzardi of Chicago is the sponsor. He says research assistants and teaching assistants perform similar functions and should be allowed to unionize. Republican State Representative Steve Reich of Woodstock is against the measure. He says research isn't work because students use it to further their own education. The Senate approved the measure last month. In sports, Cardinals lost to the Twins yesterday 4-1. Meanwhile, it was the Cubs over the Braves 3-2. White Sox losing to the Pirates 7-0. Cardinals and Twins go at it again this afternoon, pregame at 11:15 this morning. Your next news is coming up at the top of the hour. I'm Jeff Daly in the WSOY Newsroom for Newhoff Media, media made locally.
Gear up for summer with help from your neighbors at Blaine's Farm and Fleet. We've got the tools and supplies you need for your home, lawn, and garden. Trust the lawn and garden experts at Blaine's Farm and Fleet. Right now, save on Bayer Advanced All-in-One Weed and Crabgrass Killer Concentrate. It's $21.99 a gallon after $3 mail-in rebate. Save on Miracle-Gro Potting Mix. A 2-cubic-foot bag is $6.99 after $2 mail-in rebate. Estate Premium Lawn Fertilizer is also on sale. Covers up to 10,000 square feet. A 36-pound bag is now only $14.99. And in our Nature Center, save 20% on all Perky Pet Hummingbird and Oriole feeders. That's genuine value from Blaine's Farm and Fleet.
Our Garden Center in Decatur is now open. Stop in and check out our incredible selection of hanging baskets, annuals, and premium flower baskets. Right now, 10-inch premium hanging baskets are just $12.99. Visit us at our newly reopened Garden Center at 1191 Southside Drive in Decatur.
Here is Lindsay Romano with your WSOY 3-day forecast.
Partly sunny skies.
Annie.
I hear Laurel now. Partly sunny skies, highs near 80 degrees. Then tonight, clear, lows around 58. For your Thursday, mostly sunny, highs near 84. And Friday, partly sunny, highs near 78 degrees. It is 60 degrees in downtown Decatur.
Tupper on Sports on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Happy Wednesday. Back with the City Hall Insider in just a couple of minutes. Right now it's time for Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. Mark is the executive sports editor of the Herald and Review. All right, Cubs and Cards.
Well, as we know, the Major League Baseball season is really long, and yet it doesn't seem that way if your team is playing well and they're exciting. Because when that happens, they just reel you in and you are gladly pulled along and the time just flies by. And those 6 months are pretty enjoyable. If your team is really bad, you can just kind of tune it out and not pay much attention. But when your team is the 2018 Cardinals or the 2018 Cubs, that's when you get caught in a trap of watching inconsistent baseball, maddening baseball, at times baseball that just makes you shake your head. And that's what we have so far. Mostly these two teams can and occasionally do play very well, but just way too often they leave you feeling empty, like they're just underachieving. The Cardinals' offense just vanishes at times, as it did last night when they got two hits and a 4-1 loss to the Minnesota Twins. These are the Minnesota Twins. This is not the Yankees. And Mike Matheny is really struggling to put a lineup on the field that can adequately generate anything offensively. But when you look at the batting averages, you can see his dilemma. Matt Carpenter, 140. Colton Wong, 182. Dexter Fowler, 146. Carson Kelly, 111. And they strike out way too often. The Cubs also not clicking consistently on offense the way they should. Anthony Rizzo, despite showing some signs, is hitting 202. Jason Hayward still on the DL, 227. Kyle Schwarber and Addison Russell are better than 250 hitters, but not this year, and also way too many strikeouts. The Cubs rallied for two in the ninth last night, beat Atlanta 3-2, but they struck out 15 times. You know, the Cardinals miss Yadi's bat, and he continues to be on the DL. These two catchers they have cannot hit. Francisco Pena, 174. Look at the number of guys that are not hitting 200, and you're the manager and you're trying to put a lineup on the field that's going to produce runs. And yet they'll hit those games where, okay, now I see it, and it just makes you crazy. I really like Harrison Bader as an outfielder and as a hitter. Play him more. And so you look at the standings this morning. The Cubs and the Cardinals have the exact same record, 22-17, tied for third in the division. Each team is just capable of playing a lot better. But right now, I can't tell you if we're going to get to see it, or at least in stretches. We see it little bits. We need to see it in longer stretches from each of these teams.
Amen. All right, the NBA playoffs on the other side of the break with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports.
Everyone needs a bank, and everyone deserves to feel valued at the bank of their choice. I'm Dave Brandon of Hickory Point Bank, and I'm proud to say that whether you need banking services for yourself, your whole family, or business, we appreciate your business, and we're going to treat you with the utmost respect. So come see us at our new South Shores location on Southland Drive. We'll make you feel right at home. Hickory Point Bank. Invested. Member FDIC.
Back here with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. All right, the NBA playoffs.
Well, after Boston thumped Cleveland in Game 1 of the East Finals the other night in the NBA playoffs, I said that LeBron James would have a personal response in Game 2, and last night in Boston, he did. He came out like a hurricane. He scored 21 points in the first quarter to set a tone that, you know, seemed to say Cleveland would not be bullied this time around. But despite LeBron's best efforts, and he finished with 42 points, 12 assists, 10 rebounds, Boston proved to be too tough again. This time, the Celtics rallied in the third quarter, won the game 107-94 to take a 2-0 lead. And if you watch the game in that second half last night, you probably realize that even without its two best players, injured Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward, Boston is probably the better team and certainly so far the tougher team. I mean, is there anybody tougher than Marcus Smart? This is a third-year guard from Oklahoma State, an absolute pit bull who goes 100 miles an hour, backs down from no one. He's coming off the bench. Last night played 31 minutes off the bench, and the box score only slightly tells his story. 11 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds, 4 steals. That's a little bit of everything. That's kind of what he does. He sets a tone with his will to win. I think it's contagious for that team. So Boston takes a 2-0 lead with Game 3. Playing Saturday night in Cleveland. And meanwhile, in the West Finals, Golden State has a 1-0 lead. They try to go up 2-0 tonight in Houston. That's an 8 o'clock game on TNT. As I suspected, Houston had no answer for Kevin Durant the other night. This is a must-win game for the Rockets, just as Saturday's game is must-win for LeBron and the Cavaliers. Boston, very impressive so far.
All right, Mark, enjoy your day. We will check in with you first thing tomorrow morning. Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. Back with the City Hall insider, Paul Osborne, after the Marquee Coffee Break. Fresh roasting coffee locally in Decatur for over 30 years. Marquee Coffee, the official drink of choice for discernible coffee drinkers everywhere. The magic is in their beans.
Hey everyone, this is Sophia from the Brass Horn 2. After almost 28 years of serving the Decatur community with impeccable, high-quality men's clothing, the Brass Horn decided it was time to expand their business to serve the women of our community by creating the Brass Horn 2. The Brass Horn 2 proudly carries not only women's clothing, but home decor, personalized gifts, and the amazing Stonewall Kitchen products. We can't wait to see you soon down at the Brasshorn 2, located at 112 East Prairie Street. We're more than just retail. We're an experience.
Hey, if you're in the market to make the most money for your home, Sean Hannity here with some important advice. Now, look, I'm an active investor. I have bought and sold a lot of properties in hot, cold, moderate markets. And one of the lessons I have learned is this. Hire the agent that knows how to create the most demand for your home. Now, if I needed to create demand in this market, no question, there's only one real estate agent I trust if I needed to sell my home. I'm talking about Glenda Williamson. She services Decatur and the surrounding area and attracts hundreds of buyers every week and sells a home on average every 34 hours. Now, because of that, she can guarantee to sell your home at an agreed price and deadline, or guess what? She'll buy it. Our national marketing plan got my attention, and you know what? She'll get your home the attention it needs to sell for the most money guaranteed. Now, if I lived in Decatur or surrounding areas and needed to sell my home, well, I would call Glenda Williamson. So call Glenda, 217-875-8081. That's 217-875-8081, or online at GlendaWillSellYourHome.com. That's GlendaWillSellYourHome.com. Go there and you can start packing.
What do you know? It's the John Deere Green Tag Event, and it's happening right now at Sloan Implement. It's tags on, dollars off. Just get to Sloan's and look for the green tags on John Deere EasyTrack zero-turn mowers, select series lawn tractors, compact utility tractors, and gators. The John Deere Green Tag Event going on now. Save more, get more, so you can do more. Sloan Implement, your hometown John Deere dealer since 1931. Call, click, or visit any of our 20 Wisconsin and Illinois locations.
You're listening to Buyers and Company, only on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
She's a very kinky girl. Yeah, that's Paul Osborne's theme song right there.
Yeah.
Rick James.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rick and I go back a long way.
Yes. Not about what we can talk about on the air, evidently. Paul Osborne, the City Hall insider and former mayor of Decatur, publisher of the Decatur Tribune. Let's take a look a little bit. I know we're not into full campaign mode yet, but we do have a big election coming up in November. You're going to have a gubernatorial race where they might spend as much as a presidential election. It's impossible for me to believe that two men that are this successful and this wealthy would waste this kind of money trying to be a governor of a state going down the toilet. I bet yet it is.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you explain that to anyone?
I don't know. How do you explain the two candidates that, you know, their mindset is? It just they have too much money and this is what they want to do with it, I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't know. The name calling and everything else in that campaign, I think I read a news release, and we do as you do too, get all of them just back and forth that Rauner does not care about women. You know, and just, it's just like, come on.
Yeah, and the Republicans are all mad at him because, you know, he protected, you know, female rights as far as the abortion thing. I mean, it's just, you can't, they're all so hypocritical. I really am tired of all of them. But let's take a little closer look at the local races. You looked into the funding, or at least the money that's around for the race between Andy Menar and Seth McMillan. That's the 48th Senate District. Now, that this Seth McMillan kid's a nice kid. I saw him at the community leaders breakfast. But this seems like a huge uphill battle for him.
Yeah, he really has very little money. And Andy Menar has, like, he's in a congressional race.
There's like $400,000 or something sitting there right now.
Yeah, and that's
$481,000 sitting there, yes.
Yeah, he picked up another $100,000 or whatever, in the last quarter. So he's not going to have to worry about funding. And plus, he's an incumbent. And plus, I think overall, he's done a pretty good job. There's some things I disagree with him on, but he's always willing to talk about those things.
He is, and I will tell you that he is the one politician that we have, the one statewide, that still will come in and answer tough questions. I mean, like the people always did before, like the Penny Severins, like the Frank Watsons, like the Dwayne Nolans, like the Julie Currys. He's the only one we have that still operates that way.
Yeah, and I think beyond the money, of course, the money is, you know, is a factor when you don't hardly have much. But I think he's a likable candidate. He is an incumbent, and he has great name recognition. And I think he's a decent guy. I really do. I like Andy, and I think it's just really, really tough. It's going to be tough for anybody to.
Yeah, when you're sitting there with $4,000 and no name recognition, going up against a guy who's got $500,000 in the bank already and all kinds of name recognition, that's tough. Now, that is an indicator that Seth's a bad guy.
No.
It's just tough. It's going to be the same way in the Calkins race.
Yeah.
On the flip side of the parties.
Yeah, I think the other side of it is, though, that he doesn't have a whole lot of money left over after the primary, so it's not as bad.
Yeah, but he'll get it. He'll have it.
But I think everyone considered that at the time, that that was the race for the seat, whoever emerged from that GOP primary.
It's a tough seat for a Democrat to win.
Well, the way it's drawn.
Yeah, I mean, just like Sue Shears. I also, is it Herman? Who was running?
Seymour.
He was at the community leaders' breakfast as well. That's the first time I had met him, which is odd. He did call, I think, right before the food drive last year and ask about volunteering. But Seth McMillan brought him up to me during a break and said hello at the community leaders' breakfast. I don't understand why these folks aren't out getting free media. I mean, I don't understand why they're not. I mean, have you met him?
No.
Okay. No. So to me, this just, you can talk about how the district is set up. You can talk about how there's more Democrat votes than Republicans. You can talk about raising money. But if you're not doing the basics of campaigning, I have a hard time considering you a serious candidate.
Yeah, I think serious candidate is a good phrase. I mean, you're going in as an underdog just simply because of the money issue, and you're running against an incumbent that has name recognition, and you have to work doubly hard then.
Yeah, and if you're known in Springfield and you're not known in Decatur, you got to spend time in Decatur.
That's
and
right.
It can't just be a community leader's breakfast. You got to be over here a couple days a week.
That's right, and I think sometimes candidates will just hit a few of the major events and introduce themselves to some people, and that's about it. But I've never met him. I don't think I've ever talked to him.
Never gotten a press release or anything.
Never a press release or anything. And in fact, up until 3 or 4 weeks ago, couldn't even remember his name.
I know, and here's the thing, though. I think Sue Shear is a very ineffective state representative. I've said that from the very beginning. But that isn't enough for me to vote for you. I mean, I don't know what you stand for. I don't know what you're about. You can't just be, well, I'm not her.
Well, you know that someone's an ineffective campaigner.
Now, I know that some of the realtors, you know, who had a PAC or some kind of, you know, lobbying thing, you know, they hosted an event for him I could not go to a while back. That I was invited to. So it's not that he hasn't done anything. But, I mean, there's no outreach to sort of like, hey, can I come down to the Decatur Tribune and meet with you, Paul, and tell you about why I'm running?
Yeah, yeah. No.
That seems like a basic. I mean, like, that would be, like, on your list of things to do, that's in the top five.
Yeah, yeah. Free media. Get known through free media. Yeah. I mean, that's the best way. And there's just a lot of media that you can take advantage of.
Right.
A lot of members of the media are willing to talk to you and explain your position, run your photo if it's a newspaper.
Yeah, I mean, I got to tell you, that's what Dan did, and I'm sure that was a tough phone call to make because Dan and I weren't on good terms, you know, at all. I mean, not that I didn't harbor any resentment. It's just, you know, it ended badly on that whole council race, and, you know, he was mad, and so, you know, but he picked up the phone and called me and asked if he could meet with me, and we went down and had a nice conversation, and, I mean, you know, that's just what you do.
Yeah, and I felt the same way about Dan. You know, Dan and I had our differences when he was a council member and I was mayor, but he contacted me and wanted to know if he could come in and talk. We had a great talk. We did. He asked about my military son and that, and just kind of like old times in a good way. So, yeah, but since we weren't voting on anything, and Dan's a likable guy. He is. And it's just sometimes he's overly aggressive and does, but I think most of the time his heart's in the right place when he does something.
Yeah.
He's very impulsive.
You know, the Chamber of Commerce did an interesting thing a year or two ago where they had a candidate school, you know, and they invited, I was a panel speaker, and I know Joel was there, and there were other people, you know. Maybe that's a good idea. I don't think it's a generational thing necessarily. I just think it's, we're not grooming people the way they used to groom people, and people just don't have this basic understanding of what it takes to get known in a community.
I think you may be right. I think years ago, I think it was held maybe over at ADM's headquarters or the building over where the old library used to be. And the city manager and I both went to that and talked about what goes into campaigns and that and about city government, things like that. And I think if I was a young person and looking to maybe being involved in the future, that's something I'd want to attend. So I think it's a good idea to lay it out, and maybe you won't be interested after you hear it.
Yeah, you might find out it's actual work.
But it's better to find out now than to get into the campaign. And unfortunately, we've had some good candidates in the past, and they've basically thrown up their hands and said, not again, or, you know, they see the writing on the wall too soon. They're smart enough to know that this is not going to happen for me.
All right. Well, I did get his card at the community leaders breakfast, and he did ask about coming in. So maybe we'll get to be laying the groundwork now. But, you know, you can't wait until October. I mean, you got to be laying the groundwork now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you take advantage of every opportunity, and you make those opportunities yourself by calling and being actively involved in your campaign.
Yeah. And I think maybe they assume it's the other way around, like that we should be knocking down their door. And I got to tell you, in today's climate, I'm not chasing you to have a political interview. Okay.
Yeah. I'm the same way.
I am. You want to come in all the time you want, you know, but I am not chasing you down to introduce you to the community.
Yeah, yeah, and that's my philosophy exactly. I mean, I'm going to give you free space. I'm going to give you a story, and I have to chase you down to get that.
Not going to do it. And there's a lot of them anymore that seem to be that way. It just doesn't. But you are right about Andy Menar. Andy Menar is old school in that way that he understands. And he understands also if you have a controversial vote or you do something that people aren't happy with, you come in and have your side of it expressed, it helps you.
Yeah, any conversation I had with Andy before he was elected to that position, when you were interviewing him on the air, and I think I mentioned to you, he was told, don't go in. And he said, I enjoyed it. I enjoy going on Buyer's Show.
So, yeah, this don't go in thing is so over-exaggerated. Because, well, they've told Sushir she can't. I mean, they didn't give her advice. They've ordered her not to. I mean, which is just, that's the person who is representing you.
Yeah.
And I mean,
you have a right to know how she feels about it.
No, but she is so controlled by what Mike Madigan's office tells her. I mean, that's a whole other argument. And that's okay. You know, over the years, there's been a couple of people like this. Well, there's three. It's her, and there's Faber, and there's McDaniel. And do I need to say any more? Or is that pretty much self-explanatory?
That sums it up.
Doesn't it? Whose team are you on? We'll take a break. Here's Lindsay Romano with your WSOY three-day forecast. Laurel. Laurel. Laurel.
Now all I can hear is Laurel. Partly sunny, highs near 80 degrees. Then for tonight, mostly clear, lows around 58. For your Thursday, mostly sunny, highs near 84. Friday, partly sunny, highs near 78 degrees. It is 61 degrees in downtown Decatur.
One person can make a difference. And difference creates change. And change can lead to something better. Some place better. Where our young people thrive, our businesses prosper, our schools and parks flourish, where art inspires us, where our streets are safe and our future is bright. It is with your generosity that our community is made stronger. It is with your generosity that lives can change. At the Community Foundation of Macon County, we connect the philanthropic goals of donors like you with the needs of our community. The Community Foundation of Macon County, because it starts with you. Find out how to give at endowdecatur.org or make an appointment by calling 429-3000. Be that one person who makes a difference.
What is us?
Us is a foundation.
Us is the future.
Us is a bond.
But right now, that bond is fraying.
And we need a place that could make it whole.
From diabetes prevention to safety around water.
The Y fills the gaps.
And bridges our divides.
But they can't do it without us.
Donate today.
Because where there's a Y, there's an us.
Read by members of the Y.
The Decatur Family YMCA, for a better us.
Catch Byers and Company live on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com from HSHS St. Mary's Hospital in Decatur, Thursday, May 17th. May is Stroke Awareness Month, and every year, approximately 800,000 people in the U.S. suffer a stroke. Staff from HSHS St. Mary's Hospital will join the show and discuss prevention, treatment options if you have suffered a stroke, and ways to help recognize the symptoms of a stroke. Tune in, stream, or download the podcast at nowdecatur.com or listen in on the free Now Decatur app.
You're listening to Byers and Company, only on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Carl says, Laurel over the air, Yanny on the web. Maria is a Yanny person. Our very own Beth Newhoff has weighed in. Yanny, Yanny, what is wrong with you Laurel people?
Beth, I thought the same thing.
But
and
you have now been converted?
I just thought, oh, I'm gonna try this one more time. You and Paul were talking. Laurel. What?
All right, I've asked the question on Facebook. Laurel or Yanny, what are you hearing? I also attached a story that might explain exactly why people are having a lot of consternation over this. Evidently, the recording is a combination of the two words, or both words overlaid on top of each other, and depending on how much bass or how tinny it is, your speaker, your headphones, or your phone is determining. Plus, your age, younger people hear higher tones, and the Laurel has more bass in it than the Yanny does, and so there may be an age.
No doubt.
But I heard Yanny last night, and it was no doubt. And then this morning I got up, and it was Laurel.
Oh, and he was so sorry. I listen for a living. You know?
All right. Well, anyway, if you would like to comment, we'd love to hear from you on Facebook. Or you can shoot us an email or give us a call at 875-1340. What do you hear when you hear this? It's breaking the internet as we speak, people arguing. This is this dress from a couple of years ago. That some people would see one color. Some people would see another. It is strange. You've been in this business for a long time, right? And I know when cops first got body cams and car cams, they weren't crazy about it. But then they learned to be crazy about it, because about 99.9% of the time it backed them up rather than the people that were doing false accusations, right?
Yeah.
Over the 21 years of doing this, I cannot tell you how many, that 99.9% of complaints have come about something that wasn't said.
Oh, yeah.
That people are absolutely sure was said.
Yeah.
And now with streaming and podcast, and I mean, you can go, here you go.
Yeah.
And they still don't believe it.
Yeah.
It is that people hear what they want to hear.
Well, and they read what they want to read,
yes,
too. Yeah, they said, I've received letters and notes and emails and say, well, when you wrote this, well, I never wrote that.
Yeah.
You know, go back and check it. And I give them the date that column was written. And
yeah.
Go back and read that.
Yeah.
And if you can't find it, let me know. I'll send it to you.
Uh-huh. And it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And then they go, well, you know, whatever. Yeah, but
they don't even do that. They just go silent.
Yep. So that happens a lot. And it's also the same, by the way, is true, that about 99.9% of the tips that you get about inside knowledge on something turn out to be false.
That's right. Well, I think politicians haven't learned that you can't blame it on the newspaper. Well, the newspaper misquoted me. I mean, it's on the air. It's on film. You know, and it's just like, and they've tried doing that, and they still haven't learned that you've said that, and they have it on tape.
Yes, and that has changed, because there was a time when people in Washington, D.C. would, like, say one thing in Washington, D.C. and then come home to their home state and say something different.
Exactly.
And that was pre-internet and pre-sort of, you know, digital media and social media, where people are filming with their cameras all the time. Now you can't do that.
Yeah.
There was a time when Dick Durbin would be Springfield Dick Durbin and Washington, D.C. Dick Durbin.
Yeah, now he's Dick Durbin.
Yes. And I think we're better off for
all
of
that. Well, I do too. Yeah, they're certainly not better off, those who do that. But I think when you look at the overall picture of politicians today, some still try that. And when you ask them about something they said in D.C., like, it's almost like, how'd you know that?
Yeah.
It's just like, I heard it when you said it.
So, yes. How is that? All right. Well, Paul, one last chance. Can you play it again for Paul? I'm going to give him an opportunity to hear Laurel, I mean, or actually to hear Yanny one more time here.
Laurel.
Now,
Laurel.
Now I'm hearing Yanny.
Laurel.
It's Laurel.
Laurel. Yeah. I'm hearing it clear Laurel. As a bell. Paul, we'll see you next week. Thanks for rearranging your schedule this week. We really do appreciate it. Paul Osborne in Wednesdays this month, because we're out on the road every single Thursday. City Hall Insider. Back with more after news. Stay tuned.
Get your news, weather, and sports now with the Now Decatur app, available for free for iTunes and Google Play. Only with Now Decatur and WSOY Decatur.
7:59. Good morning. I'm Jeff Daly in the WSOY newsroom. The American